Hey friends, Josh here. Listen to this. This week, I have partnered with my good friend Michael Dahlke to bring you a free training that's going to be amazing. Michael took his cleaning business from $60,000 in revenue to $5 million in only a few short years. We're calling our training this week the Ultimate Breakout Session. A breakout session is where you can go deep on something and learn the exact things you need to win. Now, both Michael and I had a lot of requests after the huge convention to really dig in deeper on the things that both of us talk about as speakers at the convention. So you can watch this for free. All you have to do is go to automategrowsell.com/breakout, or it's even easier if you do this, just send a text message breakout to 44222. So you send the word breakout, no spaces, just one word, to 44222, and I can meet you, provide huge value to you. You can listen to what Michael and I have to teach. It's going to be amazing. I'll see you soon. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to day two of a special five-day series where I unpack what we talked about at the huge convention, the keynote speech that I laid out. I got a lot of requests to get bullet points or notes. This is your chance to go deeper with that. If you didn't listen to yesterday's episode, I highly recommend you do. It gives you more of my background, my backstory, all the pain I went through, all the embarrassing early struggles I had when I didn't know anything and I had no money and we lived in a trailer park and I couldn't barely pay my bills. I mean, it was a disaster and all the pain and suffering I went through, which really is why I have such a heart to help businesses now, because I know what it can be like on the other side. The thing is, though, that we talked about yesterday is that the real war, the war that we fight to build a business that works for us, is in our own head. It's with our mindset, our mentality, the paradigm, the lenses we view the world with. And look, you've heard it all before, but if you want to recap, go listen to that first, because today we're going to dive into the keynote points that I went through, which was the speech was called The Executive Mindset. And, you know, if you want to take notes, typically you listen to this when you drive. That's when I listen. But maybe you want to go back and take some notes because this is really good stuff, okay? And having an executive mindset, point number one, it requires that you know that business is about a lot more than money. Point number one, business is about more than money. A lot more than money. Like, seriously, like, we focus on money so much. But you got to understand that money is a byproduct of the right activities, byproduct of your behavior. You don't chase money, you chase the correct behaviors, and then money happens to you. And we're going to get into more about that. But when I was at the convention, I asked the crowd, which I don't know how many people were in there, but there was hundreds, like somewhere between 500 to 700 people, I think. And I asked them, raise your hand if you're a father. You know, raise your hand if you're a mother. Raise your hand if someday you hope to be your father or mother, right? And so all their hands are up. I said, hey, keep your hands up. If you don't want kids, that's totally okay. That's cool. But raise your hand if you care about your employees, if you care about your local community, the youth, the teenagers in your hometown and at the high school and stuff. Raise your hand if you care about a nonprofit or a charity or your local church, anything you donate time, money, or resources to, right? So at this point, the whole room, their hands are all up. You see, and the point I was making was that these people that we raised our hands for, these organizations, they need us to win a business. We can't do just enough to fail. We can't almost make it, create two jobs instead of 100. I mean, the whole world's relying on people like us, people that are entrepreneurial, people that listen to podcasts like this to freaking win. And your business is really nothing more than a vehicle to serve all those people around you. And that's a hard thing to wrap your head around, because you're like, no, I reject that, Josh. You're crazy, Josh. My business is to serve me. My business is to give me money. And you are allowed to think that. You're allowed to do that. You're allowed to move forward with that. But I'm telling you right now, you don't get it. And you're thinking short term and you're making a huge mistake. When you make it about you, and it can never scale to the level of when you make it about other things, you know, your family, your community, the jobs you're going to create. It's just the way that it is, man. People are attracted to positivity, to movements. We want to be caught up in something. Your business needs to be one of those movements. And your business is, it's about a lot more than beer money and bass boats. That's what I said at the convention. I love bass boats. Bass boats are awesome, but here's the problem. When you're chasing the bass boat, and you're going to have a metaphorical bass boat, maybe. I mean, it's not literally a bass boat. But maybe you want that new car. I'm doing my business to pay off my student loans, or I'm doing it for some self-serving reason, right? And you're not evil because you think that. But what I'm telling you is that when your why, your final destination, the ultimate victory, the BASBO, if your ultimate sign of achievement is finally getting that BASBO, here's what happens. Your business is going to be really hard. It's going to be dark. You're going to be all alone. You're going to have times when you're broke. You're going to be walking through the fire. And what happens is that bass boat, that final destination, your ultimate why, it's not strong enough. It's not powerful enough to pull your butt out of bed and to kick you out the door to keep going. It's just not. You just won't. You'll give up. People give up. They quit their businesses all the time. They say it's because they run out of money. They say it's because of this. They say it's outside of their control. Sometimes it is. Most of the time it's not. They quit because they're exhausted. They quit because their final destination isn't clear enough. They don't know what they really want. And the bass boat doesn't yank your butt out of bed when it's hard and dark and you're broke and all that. But your five-year-old daughter will. The love you have for your wife will. Maybe she works and you don't want her to work. Who knows what it is? Like, those things will get your butt out of bed to keep going. That's why having an executive mindset really requires you to understand that business is about a lot more than money. So I think that's awesome. Point number two, let's talk about point number two. Point number two is that it's not about you. Well, geez, Josh, that's not very nice. Why are you saying all these mean things? I'm not saying mean things, but your business is not about you. And when you think like a high-level executive, not one of the corrupt, evil, you know, like Enron executives. Maybe that word has a negative connotation on it for you. I'm talking about like the ideal executive, a real leader. He's honest. He's faithful to his family. He's highly successful, highly intelligent, well-read, you know, good leader, has hard conversations. He's not a pushover. You know, he's physically healthy. He's mentally healthy. That guy, to be that guy or girl, you need to understand it's not about you. And I think it's funny how easy it is for us to let ourselves down. Right? Like for me, I'll tell myself, I'm going to wake up in the morning and I'm going to run 3 miles. And then I don't do it. And really, it doesn't matter that much because no one even knows that I told myself that, right? So I'm just letting myself down, big, big whoop, right? But it's so much harder to let other people down. So if my wife says, hey, Josh, can you run in this charity event? And you know, we're raising money for blah, 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 blah. And they need another person to run 3 miles next October or whatever. I'm going on that run. Like, I'll wake up the morning of and she'll say, hey, you remember you got the run today? And I'm like, oh, man, I don't want to. I'm tired. But I'm crawling in the car, driving to the thing, and I'm running the thing. And when you make it about yourself, it's easy to lower the bar. When you make it about other people, you will rise to the occasion, right? You really will. And being an executive, what it means is that you put yourself in situations on purpose all the time to force yourself to have to rise to the occasion. Think about that. You put your back against the wall on behalf of your team and everybody around you where you better make it freaking happen. Like, you got to get that sale. You got to get that deal. You got to make payroll. And you will. You will. Like, you will make it happen. And the reason that you will is because you're focused on all those other people. See, this is a secret. There were so many times I didn't get a paycheck at all and everybody else did. And they didn't even know there was a problem. You know, I go home and collapse on Friday night and everybody got paid and they're out partying and doing their thing. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, I barely survived this week and I got nothing. I'm emotionally done, right? But that's part of the deal. Operating at a high level of leadership, it requires that you make sacrifices like that whenever they're needed, wherever they're needed, for as long as they're needed, period. Make it about your customers and their experience. Make it about your staff, the people on your team. Make it about your community, the jobs that you've created, the jobs that you will create in the future. Make your business about all kinds of things, but put yourself last on that list. Trust me on this. Trust me. I know some of you are thinking, I'm not there. I don't really agree, Josh. There's something. It has to be about us, Josh. It has to. No, it doesn't. And the highest of achievers, the highest of achievers will absolutely concur and agree with what I'm saying. This is like a secret mental shift. It's a big, huge deal. And it's not easy. You're going to have days where it's all about me, boo-hoo for me. This didn't go like I wanted. And you're going to feel sorry for yourself. And look, being an executive and winning, it doesn't mean you walk this stuff out perfectly. That's impossible. It means you're aware of it and you're constantly sharpening yourself. And after you have your little pissy fit and you're whining and you feel bad for yourself, you pivot. You go right back in. You say, know what? It's not about me. I'm going to get my head right. That's what being an executive is constantly course correcting yourself. You can go out in the weeds, you know, it's going to happen. Just make sure your course corrects. So point number three, moving along here, point number three of having the executive mindset is that you need to focus on providing value. This is a big one. This is a big one. This is one of the coolest parts of my keynote was explaining this, you know, because there's a big difference between price and value, right? And I think we kind of know that, although some people aren't totally clear on what I mean by this. I'm going to break it down for you in a second. Warren Buffett, he said it in the most simple way that I could find. He said, you know, price is what you pay. Value is what you get. So you want your customers to get so much more. The way they should feel like they had an avalanche of value plop onto their lap when they hire you. Like, it should be like, oh my gosh, I got this, and they said this, and they followed up, and they put my knickknacks back where they go, and they did this extra thing that they didn't even say was included, but they did it, and I only paid this small amount, but look what I got. And what you're doing is you're creating a gap. I call it the value gap, and that's just what I've always called it to my team, is we want to widen that gap. Like, they should feel like they got a Chevy Corvette, even though they're paying the price of a Chevy Impala, right? That's the idea. And so the example I used at the convention was bread, right? Everybody eats bread in the whole world. Everybody goes to the store and there's white bread for sale. And so my example involves what I call the $1 loaves of white bread. You have a rack of bread. There's 30 different loaves on it. They're all pretty much the same, different companies, different brands, different packages, but really they're the same. They cost about $1. They're all right next to each other. When you're in a hurry, you grab your favorite brand or whatever. And if your brand's not there, you don't really care. You just grab the next one and it's $1. But why is it in a world where $1 loaves of white bread exist, there is still another market, an often overlooked market. And this is a different kind of bread. And it's kind of in a different area of the store, or it's separated from the rack where the $1 bread is. And on this rack are $7 loaves of handmade artisan bread. And it's really expensive compared to the other bread, but you know, the rack that it's on is different. It's better. You know, it's a wood rack instead of a metal rack. It's got little carvings in it. And then the bread, the shape of the loaf is different. It's not the standard, you know, rectangle of bread that's sliced up. It's like this giant, bumpy, lumpy, big oval looking piece of bread or whatever. The packaging is more expensive. It's got that brown paper packaging with the little see-through window film on the top or whatever. The deal is this, you know, the $7 bread is for a certain type of person. And the person it's for is a person who focuses on finding the best value, not the best price. And those are the kind of customers you want. Like, you know, yesterday I talked about the fly-by-night guys, the guys that lowball all the lawn mowing accounts. You know, they'll steal your job for 50 cents. I actually had a friend one time that lost, this is absolutely true, in Michigan, my friend Mike, he lost a lawn mowing account for 50 cents. Like, he was like $28 a cut. And the homeowner was like, Mike, hey, listen, you know, we're going to have to, you know, this is our last service. You know, we have another company that's going to be doing it. And he's like, well, wait, why? Did I do something wrong? What's going on? And like, no, he was just cheaper. And he's like, well, what was their price? $27.50 a cut. That's crazy. Anyway, sorry, I got on a tangent there. So here's what I want you to understand. You need to be the $7 loaf of bread. You need to make your business be like that. That is the key, man. You got to be that, but there is a caveat. Here's where people screw this up. Lots of people screw this up. Is what they do is they say, oh my gosh, I can just charge more. That's the ticket. You know, then I'll make more money. I'm a genius. But you see, the market is really smart, and the market will find out that you're a fraud, and the market will reject you if you're not actually better. You have to really be better. You see, the $7 bread that I'm talking about is freaking awesome. It smells better. It tastes better. It's softer. It's got the crunchy outs. I don't know. Whatever makes bread awesome, they win in every single category, right? They're dominating. There is no comparison. You have to do that. You have to be amazing. You answer the phone on the first ring. The script you say is thoughtful and polished, right? A high level of enthusiasm. You over-communicate and recap all of the points of the service appointment that you have because you're not going to let unmet expectations creep in and disappoint your customer later. You're going to go over what they get and what they don't get. When you do the sales appointment, you're going to give them pricing for everything they need, even if they didn't ask for it, because you are serving them at a high level. Your literature is going to be better. Your uniforms are going to be better. Your trucks are going to be better. The equipment you use is going to be better. The way that your technicians say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, every single time because it's drilled into their head is going to be better. The team meetings that you have to motivate and inspire all the people that work for you over and over and over like a broken record as you drive home your core values actually has to happen for you to really be better. Whew. Man, this is firing me up. Look, you gotta be better. And look, it's not that hard. You just have to focus on all the little things no one cares about and dominate at one of them at a time. That's it. And do it every day. Once it becomes a habit and part of your core value, it's not work anymore. It's just how we do it. Well, gosh, how'd you get your customer service team to be so great? Well, because we purposefully tried to be freaking great the first day that we did it. And then the second day, we made a point. Hey, guys, we got to be great. And then the third day, then the 20th day, then the sixth month, and then 2 years later. That's just who we are now, right? So it's work in the beginning, but you just kind of morph into what you focus on. So look, that's your job. Be the $7 loaf of bread. It's not about smoke and mirrors. It's not about trickery. If you take your little $1 loaf of bread out and sneak it into a different wrapper and throw a $7 price on it, that will not work. That will not work. But I see a lot of companies doing that. So focusing on value is not just about creating the perception of value. It's about actually delivering on that promise. And, you know, if you can pull this off, this is how you get the job every time, even when you're twice or three times the price of a local competitor. And this used to drive people crazy when I had my company. It pisses people off. Excuse my language. It ticks them off. Big time. Big time. Because these guys don't get it. And they're running around and they're saying, oh, I need money. I need money. I got to serve myself. How do I get more money? And they put a flyer and they put a flyer and they put a postcard out and they get a call. And then my company would get a call. And we both go do the bid and go through the process. And they would put the lowest price they could possibly do because they're so scared they're not going to get it. We would be 2.5-3 times that. But our process, we were the $7 absolute loaf of bread. And for a customer, 9 times out of 10, they want the responsible, trustworthy, clean-cut, background-check, non-smoking, adult, living wage paid technicians inside their house, and not the guy who pulls up with his wife beater on with some beer stains looking for some cigarette money or whatever. I mean, look, that's just the way that it is. And so when you understand this, it's easy to win. The fly-by-night people, they don't realize what they're doing wrong. And so when they keep losing bids, first of all, they blame the big company like us, but they also lower their price even more, which is like the opposite of what needs to happen here. So look, I'm fired up. We just covered a lot of ground, and that's it for today's podcast. Okay. Tomorrow we're going to talk about point 4, 5, and 6, which is really, really good stuff. And I want to continue the conversation, but I want to ask you a favor. I want you to share this. Please post a link to this on social media, tweet it, put it on Facebook. Let people know that this podcast exists. It's a really big deal for me. I appreciate it. I work really hard to provide you good value. If you can just leave me a review on iTunes, that is tremendously helpful to me, and also by sharing. So I appreciate you. Don't forget, this week, special training with Michael Dahlke. Now, Michael took a business from $60,000, a cleaning business, to $2 million in less than 4 years, then now up to $5 million a few years after that. He's a good friend of mine. He lives down in Tennessee, and we're co-hosting basically a breakout session. So he was at the convention. He had a massively attended breakout session. We're going to go deeper. We're going to teach at a deeper level. We're going to reconnect with everybody, almost like a post-convention breakout session. So that's the event coming up this week. Click the link in this page. If you want to watch it, it's totally free. There's going to be hundreds of people on there, and it's going to be a lot of fun. But you don't want to miss it. So click the link, sign up real quick, throw your email in there. We'll send you a link with the time and all that when you can log on. That's it, guys. Thank you. I appreciate all of you. You have what it takes to win. You really do. Go out there and live it. I'll talk to you later.
Hey, thanks for hanging out, friends. And from all of us here at the Quick Talk Podcast team, we hope you love today's show. We hope that you were inspired to become a doer and not just a listener. Apply what you've heard today in your own business and watch things change for the better. Lastly, remember that all the money in the world can't save your soul. Seek first the kingdom of God, my friends. We'll see you next time.
For more information about the Quick Talk Podcast or Joshua's other businesses, visit our website, quicktalkpodcast.com. Have a blessed day.